Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
I drank beer with my friends. Sometimes I had too many beers. I liked beer. I still like beer. Had beers, have some beers. One beer, drink beer, drinks beer, drank beer and drinking beer.
Upstairs, downstairs, where was it? I don't know, but I had one beer.
Friday!
Probably at Beer Center.
Each week, Ralph Club biggest contributor.
Beer. Yeah, answer that.
I like beer. I don't know if you, okay. You like Beer Center or not. What do you like to drink?
Next week.
I had one beer.
Friday.
Hanging out and having some beers with friends, which I gladly do and which I fully embrace.
Well, you think it was... Nope, there was one beer.
Friday.
Yeah, it's that time. Pabst Brewing since 1844.
Though,
it's not made by... Well, I guess it still
before
says...
before the Civil War, John.
It still says Pabst Brewing, but...
Remember the Civil War?
Aren't they owned by someone?
Some problematic people in the Civil War.
Yeah, good take, Nick.
Well, but there are also good people in the Civil War.
On many sides.
Nick just choked on his beer.
There was the correct side and the bad side.
There were good people, too. The people that were fighting for the good cause.
Mm-hmm.
Though some of them weren't totally sold.
Yeah, they probably still said the bad words.
Yeah.
Did you know the British were low-key helping the South because the British relied on the South for a lot of their textiles?
Another check in the box of John's good take on the Brits.
Hello, Governor.
Remember when the Queen died?
Oh, yeah, they're morons.
R.I.P. Liz.
They're morons.
Liz, R.I.P.
Terrible.
I have triggered James, by the way.
Why did you trigger? This is the happy hour, not the triggered hour.
Well, tell that to James.
And it's One Beer Friday.
James,
you don't
want to
be triggered.
Pop open a beer, bro.
Yeah, pop open a beer. Send us a pic just like everyone else.
Grab
use the hashtag One Beer Friday and share what you're drinking this beautiful weekend where the sun's going to be out, apparently, and they say it's going to be 50 degrees.
Gosh, your negativity. I thought this was the happy hour.
Negative.
Well,
boys.
You
negative
brought boys, us down boys, because boys. James, what the hell is James triggered about?
Holy crap, in Mount Washington? Up in the Northeast, the wind chill is negative 104 degrees. That's cool. It's a new record. New record. James is triggered because of me.
Global warming my ass.
James writes, can't take it anymore. As a product of the J School at UNL myself, can we please stop using the non-word comfortability? See, he spells it weird, which is how it would be spelled if it was an actual word. Josh just said uncomfortability. That should be discomfort. Be better, words matter.
Did you say...
I thought I said uncomfortable. I don't know. I don't...
You don't pay attention to yourself.
No.
I don't remember you saying a weird word.
Uncomfortability? I've never said uncomfortability. I don't think I have. So I don't know how I can stop saying something I haven't said.
Oh.
Yeah, John, if I would have said that, you would have made fun of me for it. You'd have been like, you're an idiot.
Well, I might have and I might not have because I'm...
Because you also said, you owe us a quarter.
I'm fading. Oh,
you owe us a quarter.
You know what? I knew this was going to happen.
How about the fact, too? Yeah, you've been so good at it, but then Parker comes on and you're very nonchalant.
You also owe a quarter.
That was off the air.
It counts.
I don't know. No, you asked me what's the name of a Bruce Springsteen song and I told you what it's called.
What's it called?
I'm not going to say it now. Nebraska, wasn't that his album? Was that him? Who's the guy?
This is why I should not have brought quarters with me, because then I wouldn't have screwed up.
Mm.
Well, those Bronco burgers are going to taste delicious. When
Dude, I don't know, man. I feel like we might be able to go somewhere nicer than that now.
How much money are we going to be able to fit in that jar?
We're going to have to get a bigger jar. We're going to have to get JFK's head.
How long is this going for?
Kent, bring us JFK.
How long is this going for?
The whole year.
Oh, it's the whole year?
This is, I think, the day before our last show together this year, before the crossover specials, we go out to lunch.
Get
We're going to have to take John to lunch pretty soon anyway.
That's right, because I'm the winner. And but
I'm second place, right?
Speaking of second place, that's what John is in prediction right now. I'm in third, and we're almost done. We have 2 weeks left.
Who's in first?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I realized that this morning when you said it.
That's right, because this round of predictions is the shortest round, and it ends after the Super Bowl.
Rats.
Call me short round.
Well, we'll call you short, all right. Rats.
The NCAA has changed some things when it comes to NIL. You know, they've recently hired more investigators. They're getting serious about this. They're getting serious about this. Man, we got to get serious about this NIL. It's out of control. Kids are making a lot of money from third parties, and that's not good. And
this is not good.
Here's the other part of it that is going to be a little, I think, problematic. Reading from Ross Dellinger's story in SI.com from earlier this week. Thanks to new rules passed.
Rule?
Investigators can now use circumstantial evidence, like a tip or a news story, instead of on-record sourcing to presume that an NCAA school violated rules. Schools can disprove the allegation or else be potentially charged. The move strengthens the enforcement staff's ability to charge schools and allows more leeway for investigators. According to John Duncan, the NCAA Vice President of Enforcement, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. Instead of putting the burden on the enforcement staff to always come up with a smoking gun, which we don't always have, there is a presumption. It puts the burden on the school. It's a really powerful tool. In other words, it's the presumption of guilt, not the presumption of innocence, which is the foundation of our jurisprudence. Innocent until proven guilty. In this case, they can use circumstantial evidence.
Wow.
They can use circumstantial evidence.
They can use
evidence.
An article by Mitch Sherman on The Athletic.
Yes, they can.
And that's the first thing I thought of was the story about the player who eventually we found out to be Tennessee's quarterback for the 2023 recruiting class. That was the first person I thought of because there was that story from last summer, I believe, where it was like, yeah, here's one guy who's getting offered $8 million a year or $8 million total. I'm like, what? Sure enough, it's Tennessee's new quarterback. So in theory, they can use that.
Feels weird.
Feels very weird, Nick.
It's very odd when you consider literally, I mean, this stuff's out there all the time. The rumors, the hearsay. Hey, I heard so-and-so is getting $500,000 a year.
I was just going to say, the lineman who decided to go to Oklahoma, and I'm forgetting his name for the time being, from Stanford.
From Stanford, yes, I am too. But
he was a player, and yeah, $500,000. That was the rumored amount. There was a post on the Iowa 24/7 board from one of their writers, and he said, yeah, I heard it was $500,000 that Nebraska offered. And
something like that.
Walter Russ?
Walter Russ, thank you.
Something like that can be used for the NCAA to swoop in and say, okay, Nebraska, what are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And then Nebraska then has to disprove if something untoward had taken place.
Because they're guilty until proven innocent?
Because they're guilty until proven innocent. And here's where things can get rather challenging. I don't know if you know this about our media landscape.
I had not even thought of
this. Our media landscape is very, very parochial.
Parochial.
In some avenues, some call it partisan.
but certainly in college sports media.
In college sports media and in pro media as well.
Yes, for sure.
But especially in college media, you have a number of news organizations.
Yeah.
Especially on the internet. Who, well, everyone's on the internet.
I know what you meant.
But
internet-specific websites.
Their job is to cover that school. And in many cases, the lines get blurred very often between coverage of a school and outright openly cheering for a school.
Well, how about local sites that, you know, have a obvious relationship with one of the
collectives,
and they use their logos in some of their interviews and those types of things. I mean, look at our media landscape here alone. And I'm guessing it's like this at a lot of places, like the Alabamas, the Auburns, those types of schools. You go through the list of writers that cover this program and then even radio personalities. And just off the top of my head, there's not a whole lot of non-Nebraska graduates. You and I are absolutely in the majority. Mm-hmm. We had Parker Gabriel on earlier. He was a rare beat writer around here that went to somewhere else, and he went to Wisconsin. Sevier, obviously, he did not go to Nebraska on the radio for many years. But think about right now, I don't know, did Hanley go to, I think Hanley went to Nebraska. Right now, all five of us that are on the zone went to Nebraska. World Herald, Sam McEwen, Evan Bland. Chattel went to Missouri, but he's been around here so long.
Right.
And I'm not, that was not me saying our media is biased, but we, look, man, I think we all have skin in the game for Nebraska. It'd be good for business if they were finally good
sure.
again. And all of us have a relationship to the program that goes back to when we were kids.
And also keep in mind that a lot of these new site or team-specific sites focus on what? Recruiting. Where
Correct.
All the rumors and all the speculation comes out in the fore.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is this, if the NCAA now can just use a simple tip or a news story.
From Auburn 24/7 about Alabama's
Correct.
Operation.
They can instantly swoop in and make Alabama disprove the allegation. Now, in some cases, if it's just outright made up,
then you can disprove it theoretically fast.
But there might be stuff there. The problem is there may be elements of truth, even if not the whole thing is true. Let's say we'll just use the Walter Rouse example. The rumors were always making $500,000. Well, maybe it turns out that it was actually $50,000, but it was still maybe not totally on the up and up. And I'm not alleging, by the way, whether it was $500,000 or if it was $50,000 that Nebraska was necessarily doing anything illegal in their NIL, you know, negotiations or recruitment of Walter Rouse. I'm just using this as an example because it's been a recent one that's been out there. But that is the problem with guilty before, you know, you're guilty before you're proven innocent.
Well, how about this
too? There's going to be so many potential tips out there. There's going to be so many potential things. Eventually, you're going to be chasing your tail. And I don't think this is actually going to yield the results that the NCAA is wanting. That is to curb all of this ridiculously exorbitant and potentially out of the bounds of the rules, whatever rules there are that exist, of NIL.
Well, not to mention, given how the NCAA has operated lately, I don't think that they're going to want to even do all of the legwork that they'd have to do here. I think Simple Appreciation Club, he brings up a great point. How would a school be able to disprove NIL accusations from the NCAA if they're not supposed to be part of the NIL operations?
That's true.
You know, I saw a story, and I want to make sure that I find this exactly so I can bring it up to you. Here it is. So LSU announced a new collective this week, the 30th. So what's that, Sunday, Monday? Monday. Bayou Traditions, the official collective of LSU Athletics. I'm going to read from the release. Scott Woodward, the athletic director of LSU, he said this. Bayou Traditions is a new way LSU fans can support the success of our championship athletic programs and our elite student athletes in the NIL era. This collective, this is me now, allows for fans to donate money that will go into the fund and then be dispersed. So basically, I think what it's trying to do is get Joe fan who might not be able to pony up hundreds of thousands of dollars, but wants to feel a part of the the game. And hey, I'll throw in $25. I'll throw in $10. And suddenly that's how it grows and grows and grows. And I saw this story and it's like, cool. That's what I kind of expect a lot of this stuff to do. And then I'm like, man, I think of the fan who is already donating for a season ticket seat license, who then buys the season tickets, who then goes to the games, and all of the money that they're spending. And now the $1 million university or the $1 million athletic department getting hundreds of millions of dollars from television contracts is saying, hey, could you throw in a few more bucks? And it's just, look, it's so obvious as we are now, what are we, 18 months, 20 months into the NIL era, how it's so obvious that we're going to get to a point at some point soon. Well, I hope soon, where the schools are just paying the players directly, because it's just, this stuff is untenable. This idea is untenable from the NCAA, that you could go off of that. Like, look, if you want to go off of anonymous tips that has actual info and intel, more power to you. Yeah. But this, there is a gray area because of what you said, the parochial nature of college athletics, and how, just like here in Nebraska, many of the writers that cover the programs that, you know, that they cover, they went to that university.
Sure.
And they have skin in the game.
Sure.
And that could cause some problems, even if it's not being done on purpose, but it could still cause quite a few problems and quite a few headaches.
Well, who knows, maybe nothing will come of this, and that's probably my guess, is not a lot is going to come of this, or what will come of this is furthering the murkiness of the waters when it comes to making up new rules and new regulations, because it seems like the NCAA is always 2 or 3 or 20 steps behind what's actually happening.
Yeah.
And then every new rule they make, well, that just opens a Pandora's box somewhere else. This organization, aka its schools, are constantly chasing their tail. And honestly, I really don't know where or how it's going to end.
It's going to end with the schools paying the players.
Maybe.
I think it is.
Maybe.
I just think at a certain point, and I think the situation with Florida and Jane Rashad, I think that is going to be a breaking point for a lot of these coaches and then universities, because that stuff, that's untenable. You know, where promises are being made by outside forces, and suddenly a player that they thought was the cornerstone of their class, a quarterback, is gone because, again, of lies or mistruths or half-truths, whatever it was, led to him leaving. And at a certain point, coaches are going to say, we can't do this, you know, and there will be enough people screaming that we can't do this. And they're making enough money, and the TV contracts are going to keep climbing higher and higher. They're going to have the money.
They'll have the money. The problem is, will they be able to do it legally without having to pay everybody, from the number one football player to the last person on the water polo team?
Mm-hmm.
That's when I talk about, you know, untethering the programs from the school so that there's not a.
Yeah,
there's that connection, and that's the tricky thing.
Let me ask you a question.
I honestly think the schools paying the players, while it's the most logical solution, I think it's the most difficult solution in terms of all the things that it will take to do it without leading to lawsuits and.
Let me ask you a question.
Everything blowing up,
because football, they get more benefits. The players get more benefits than the baseball players, right? And I'm not even just talking about the raw scholarship. I'm talking about everything else.
Yeah, they get an extra scoop of mashed potatoes every dinner.
They get lots of stuff other sports don't.
They do. And they get better travel, usually stay in better hotels.
Correct. Sure. So, you know, there is obviously
a pecking order.
Yeah, and so I guess I'm going to say the lawyers will figure that part out, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe.
Right. It's a good point.
Well, the lawyers will figure it out. But there'll be a lot of lawyers involved, and they'll make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got in the wrong business.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did.
Weird times. Again, this is, I think about it a lot, especially just given what we've gone through in our nation's history over the last few years. But I think about how it's so easy when you are removed from the equation to look back at a historical event and say, that was wrong and they should have done this. Or I'm really happy that they did that because it was the right side. And only until recent years have I realized, wow, like living in the moment of it mm-hmm. and having to figure it out on the day-to-day when we don't have all the information and we're trying to figure it out. And I mean, you can talk about that for the biggest news events of the last few years, and you can talk about it for something goofy like name, image, likeness, and how in not even 2 years, how much has changed just with how this is operating and how we originally thought this is great. It's going to be awesome. Adrian Martinez can talk about deodorant, you know? And I thought we were going to, I thought we would just see commercials everywhere. I'd be on Instagram and it'd be like, hey, there's Adrian Martinez hawking deodorant. Nope, it's not that. It's just, you know, local boosters combining all their money to give to players. Yeah. And it's like, how did we all miss that in the moment? Weird times.
And we didn't even get to Coldest Crawford talking about air conditioning.
I know, and now he's gone. He's gone.
There's so many HVAC companies in the city.
Yep, and now
in
he's,
Lincoln too.
And now he's
well, yes, but there's only one that's really good, and that's
absolutely
McCarthy's.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're all good, but McCarthy's is better.
One hour. I hear 1 hour.
They're 1 hour.
Always
on time,
time,
or you don't pay a dime.
Mm.
McCarthy's1hour.com.
Yeah. Coming up next, predictions.
Ooh.
We got 2 weeks to catch to Nick, but I have great news coming up in predictions today.
Oh.
Great news. Because, okay, you know, we have no football to bet on this week. We have no football to pick.
The Pro Bowl?
Yeah, the Pro Bowl. There's flag football.
But we have something even better on 1620 The Zone.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.